K. Jackson, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, a Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. The Vatican just said over 128,000 people have already filed by Pope Francis, whose body is lying in state in St. Peter's Basilica. His open casket will remain on view until 8 p.m. Rome time tonight. Meanwhile, CBS's Tony Aiello reports attention is beginning to focus on picking a successor.
As the public mourning period continues, cardinals gathered again Thursday, part of a series of meetings before the conclave to elect the next pope. Cardinal Timothy Dolan of New York says it's time to get to know one another.
We listen to one another. There's a nice coffee break where we can chat.
Because Pope Francis expanded the College of Cardinals to represent smaller nations, many of them with very few Catholics, Cardinal Dolan says he's meeting a lot of these cardinals for the very first time.
President Trump is expressing displeasure with Russian President Vladimir Putin after Russia's attack on Kyiv that killed at least 12 people and injured dozens.
I wasn't happy with it, and we're in the midst of talking peace, and missiles were fired.
In Ukraine, an official day of mourning in Kyiv.
But if anything, it's a testament to Ukraine's defenses that it wasn't worse. But it hasn't stalled talks. If anything, it maybe cranked up the urgency of trying to cut a deal. But this is really right out of Putin's playbook, showing the world and especially the people of Ukraine, that he has the upper hand and weaken Ukraine's hand at the negotiating table.
CBS's Charlie Daggett at the Pentagon. China's foreign ministry continues to say there are no talks with the U.S. on easing the trade war. And CBS News Money Watch correspondent Kelly O'Grady says effects of the new tariffs are still to be felt.
You're going to see the effect on maybe revenue and profit come next quarter, because remember, these tariffs going back to April 2nd, that's really going to affect what we see them report come the summer.
California has jumped over Japan to take the fourth spot in the world's largest economies, but KCBS's Holly Kwan says that may change.
At $4.1 trillion, California just barely edged out Japan last year. It now trails behind the U.S., China, and Germany in global rankings. But numbers from the International Monetary Fund show Japan retaking its fourth place position, and by 2026, California will be surpassed by India.
Researchers say middle-aged adults in the U.S. and the Netherlands are experiencing higher levels of loneliness than older adults. It can be fought.
You have to be very intentional and deliberate and put yourself into what we call third spaces. These bookstores, these cafes, pickleball, cycling clubs, like really make yourself available to social interaction.
Psychiatrist Dr. Sue Varma. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Packers pick a receiver.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay. Last night at the NFL Draft.
With the 23rd pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the 13-time world champion Green Bay Packers, for the first time since 2002, draft a wide receiver. Matthew Golden, wide receiver of Texas.
Packers president Mark Murphy, GM Brian Gutekunst on selecting Matthew Golden.
Well, I really sent in a different name, but Mark just announced what he announced, so it is what it is.
Golden's reaction on being the first receiver the Packers picked in the first round since Javon Walker.
It's always been a dream of mine to go in the first round. To know that they haven't picked a receiver since 2002, man, it's truly a blessing.
NBA, the Bucks and the Pacers for Game 3 in their playoff series tonight in Milwaukee. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Increasing clouds in the overnight, light north winds at lows in the lower 40s. On Friday, showers, even a thunderstorm possible. Cloudy skies, temperatures rising to the upper 40s. North winds will increase. We'll see some gusts up around 25. Currently 49 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsinology's Frank Anderson, new Wisco Weekend host Lisa Hale, and it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr joins the show with new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Check out my war plans. Pete Hegseth talking about first big strike against the Houthis in Yemen on Signal, two separate channels. Yes, the one you heard about before with the reporter on it. Oops-a-daisy. And now also his wife, his bro, and his lawyer who magically got hired by the Pentagon. This guy's judgment could not be worse. Do you think Hegseth should probably resign?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal. But everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hope you are having a really excellent Friday Eve. I've got a great guest co-host in the chair with me today. His name's Tom Paulswitz, two-time congressional candidate, Navy veteran, leadership coach, small business owner, and all-around reasonable guy. Thanks for being with Tom and I this afternoon. We've been talking about some pretty incredible news that's been breaking over this past half an hour or so about Pete Hegseth. Is this sound that we've got, is this Hegseth sound, Cal? Okay. And okay. So I wanted to be sure I had straight in my head what we had going on here. So no, I don't want to blow a minute and 50 seconds listening to Pete Hegseth meltdown. Tom, I'm going to just go out on a limb here and make a wee bit of a prediction. I think Donald Trump is going to continue to support Pete Hegseth, but if these reports keep piling up, I think it's going to get harder and harder to defend. And like one morning we're going to wake up and Hegseth will be gone. Right. Old DJT will be like, boop, nope, you're done. Enough. Thank you. Over it. So let's talk.
I actually think there's a higher chance that he implodes before Trump gets rid of him.
You mean
that something happens? He says something so egregious that there'll be no choice but to remove him.
That's interesting.
I mean, at this point, I mean, if the pressure is already getting to him,
yes,
there is no pressure yet. So I think, you know, that's the path we're on. So we'll see what happens, though.
It's fascinating. Let's talk a little Ukraine, Tom. And folks, if you want to join Tom and I in a discussion this afternoon, because we're all about that real breaking news and great discussions at Civic Media, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Donald Trump, just earlier today, I can't believe I even have to say some of these things.
Yes.
Donald Trump earlier today said that, Russia's going to make concessions. Their concessions in this grand deal that he's striking are they'll stop the war and they won't take all of Ukraine.
Right. Not all of it.
What?
Huge concession by the Russians. Huge concession.
This is ridiculous. So yes. I just want to distill for everyone here's what Ukraine is going to get air quotes here, get in this wonderful deal that Donald Trump has negotiated.
Right.
A quote, robust security guarantee.
That's not a guarantee.
That's not a guarantee at all.
Right.
It's totally vague. And there's no mention of any U.S. participation in said peacekeeping. And on the flip side, guess what Russia gets? Ukraine can never join NATO. So the very organization that would provide a robust security guarantee, they can never join. Right. And, it, you know, just a little vague promise. They'll get a, Ukraine would get a small part of Kharkiv. Not the whole thing, just a small part of the territory that Russia took. They'll get unimpeded passage to the Dnieper River, which runs along the front line in parts of southern Ukraine. Again, this was sovereign Ukrainian territory before Russia invaded.
Yes.
And vague notions of compensation and assistance for rebuilding, though this two-page document, very detailed, these Trump negotiators, this two-page document says not a whit about where said funding will come from.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm sure that'll sort out. Oh, of course, there has to be the U.S.-Ukraine minerals deal, so they got to give us their minerals. They will get to keep, because it was in Ukrainian territory, this nuclear power plant, but it's going to be operated by the United States, and they're going to provide energy to the U.S. and Russia.
Right. And they'll have to pay for their own electricity. Thank
Yes. That's fabulous.
Because we have to recoup our costs somehow.
And on the flip side, Russia gets to keep control of Crimea permanently. Russia gets to keep nearly all of the Luhansk Oblast and the occupied portions of three major regions of Ukraine. Again, Ukraine can never join NATO. Oh, no more sanctions. Those will be gone. And they get enhanced economic cooperation with the United States, particularly in the energy and industrial sectors. So to summarize, folks, here's what Ukraine gets. Here's what Russia gets. Everything they've always wanted.
And wait, what does Russia give up in this transaction?
These are all Maggie Dawn invented sound cues. Not off a production board. I'll just do them on the air with everybody. Like
they're very good.
Here's what Russia gives up. Nothing.
Right. And nothing.
That's nothing.
Nothing. They give up the ability to take over the rest of Ukraine.
Unbelievable. I think we've got some audio of Trump saying this. Do we not have this audio? Let's take a listen. This reporter says, "What concessions is Russia going to make?" Let's listen.
What concessions, Mr. President, and to your national security team? What concessions has Russia offered up thus far to get to the point where you're closer to peace?
Stopping the war. Stopping taking the whole country. Pretty big concession.
Did you hear the laughter?
Yes.
There was actual laughter in that room.
Chuckling.
Because it's so absurd. Now, who knew stopping a war was difficult?
Harder than a real estate deal that you close with someone else's money that you'll never pay back and just, you know, bankrupt that and never pay a contractor.
Who knew?
A little bit
Who
harder.
Who knew it was going to be complicated?
Than
Who
a casino knew? In Atlantic City. Just a week, you know, running racially discriminatory rental practices.
Right.
You know, and extracting value from working class New Yorkers. Little harder than doing that, Donald.
And we talked about this before, right? Donald Trump is so transactional that anything that takes longer than a minute to work through, he loses interest, moves on, and just assumes that people know what they're doing, you know? And he actually told Marco Rubio, we're moving on, right? Like it's possible just to move on to the next transaction.
Well, this is the thing. Like,
it's insane.
Underlying all this, and that clip, Marco Rubio is sitting immediately to the president's left. Who are you, Marco? How does that man sleep at night? We know Donald Trump has, I don't want to say has no soul. The man feels no guilt. He's never asked the Lord
no guilt
for
or
forgiveness.
Shame,
right? No guilt, no shame. I can say because he said so. He was asked, have you ever asked God for forgiveness? Answer, no, I don't do that. I just do what I do, basically was the answer.
Right.
So he feels no shame, no guilt, no remorse, doesn't reflect on whether or not any of this is actually going to work. Marco Rubio has never said or done any of the things that he's doing now in his entire career. Sellout. Right. Not little Marco. What's a good... Marco the sellout. I mean, Faust.
As a senator, wasn't he involved in a bill that made sure that Russia could not take over the or be awarded the, yes, the area they're being awarded now? He was key. He was instrumental in the passage of that bill.
Yes.
And here he is now going, ah.
Just give them everything they want. It's fine.
3 years later.
Now, listen to this. This is how little Marco characterizes his complete abandonment of all of the values and things he held sacred for all of his 40 plus years on this planet. His defense of Ukraine for decades. His entire foreign policy worldview as a United States senator is now reduced to give Russia everything it wants because Trump says so. And this, Calvin.
Both very much looking to make a deal. Marco, what would you say?
Well, first of all, the what was put before our partners was options to discuss about things that it would take to end a war. This war is endable. Both sides just have to agree to it. We've shown them a pathway forward. We've discussed those ideas. There was a good meeting yesterday. There'll be good meetings over the weekend. We've shown them the finish line. We need both of them to say yes. But what happened last night with those missile strikes should remind everybody of why this war needs to end. It's horrible those missiles landed. What's even worse is there are today people that were alive yesterday that are not alive today because this war continues. And the president wants to stop it. And everyone should be thanking the president for being a peacemaker and trying to save lives. That's what we're trying to do here. It's not our war. We didn't start it, as you know. But we're trying to end the dying. We're trying to end the destruction. And we've shown the path forward. We can see the finish line, but both of them have to get there. We're going to do everything we can to help them get there, but they have to ultimately say yes.
Both and we are using a lot of pressure on both. You know, if you think we're just in there because we're nice people, and we are nice people, but we're using a lot of pressure on both.
We're using a lot of pressure. We're nice people. I'm nice people. Little Marco, he's little, but he's nice. It's incoherent nonsense. What did Marco Rubio just say? War bad, peace good. Do what we say. Screw you, Ukraine. I mean,
there were missiles. Not saying it was the Russian missiles targeted against Ukrainian civilians. That's not what he said. He said, "Well, there's missiles. It's war.
That's bad. War bad, peace good. Screw you, Ukraine." Well, that's the cliff notes on what Marco Rubio just said in the Oval Office.
And the pressure they're putting on Russia was Donald Trump posting on Truth Social for them to stop it.
Yes, a two-line Truth Social post earlier this morning, the day before yesterday, about 25 lines telling Zelensky that he needs to do what the hell Donald Trump is telling him to do. Two lines for Russia, 25 lines telling Zelensky he's a bad guy. By the way, here are the facts on some of these negotiations. Let's see here. Steve Witkoff, Trump's envoy, has been meeting with Putin, fourth meeting with Putin, hasn't met with Zelensky in the last couple of weeks, met with Putin for more than 4 hours last week. Do you think Putin just handed him his grocery list for Ukraine? Hey, here, Witkoff, give this to little Marco and then the orange man, because we've got the Comprobot. Here's my list of stuff that I'd like.
Well, when you're a real estate developer, you go where the money is, right? So, you know, it's not surprising they're going to the person who's going, okay, who can give us the most back?
I mean, who's going to finance the hotels in Gaza, Tom? Right. Maybe the oligarchs out of Russia or the oligarchs here. We got Elon Musk still bopping around. Tesla stock down a resounding 72%. Maybe Elon slinking away. Don't be confused, everybody.
Profit down 71%. Yes. Stock is holding in there for some bizarre reason. I don't know.
And I haven't even gotten to the meme coin. Haven't even mentioned the grift of all grifts. The pay to play is not even hidden anymore. Out in the open, top 220 donors to Donald Trump's pocket get a private dinner. We'll just put it through this thing called a meme coin, which isn't even really legit cryptocurrency. It's just a token. Just a fun
8 million
thing.
8 million from overseas today.
Oh, and the Chinese guy that seeded the first like 20 million so that they could trade it.
Yeah.
And just tell the pause. And did I mention that the FCC has said that the meme coins aren't regulatable by the FTC? Yeah, that's beyond the FTC's scope. Yeah. This isn't corruption. It's totally above board. When we come back, business, baby, business. When we come back, we're going to be joined by my good friend, Pete Konotek. We're going to talk about what a climate-safe pension is and why that should be important to every Wisconsinite. Billions invested by WRS. Can they go to things that aren't big?
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, Goodfellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're saying, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on waukradio.com/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I'm not Cecilia. I'm Maggie. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Thursday, everybody. And happy Earth Week, Earth Month.
Yes.
Here in Wisconsin, I like to think of us as having a proud tradition of deep, almost reverent respect for our natural resources. Every single person I know, whether it's a family living in the downtown Milwaukee area or my uncle living in northern Wisconsin, who's an avid hunter and fisherman, everybody I know in the state of Wisconsin enjoys recreating in some way, shape, or form in the out of doors. And boy, is that good for the soul. And so don't we all have a collective responsibility to make sure that these beautiful natural resources that we've enjoyed for our entire lives are there for our kids and grandkids. My next guest, his name is Pete Konotek. He's with Climate Safe Pensions, and he's here. It is wonky, folks, but it is important wonk. Want to welcome Pete to the show. I've got a co-host with me. You'll hear him in your headphones, Pete. Tom Paulswitz this fine afternoon. Welcome back to the show, Pete. You were with me last year during Earth Week. Tell us, what is your organization about and why is this important?
Well, I'm really happy to be back, Maggie. Climate Safe Pensions for Wisconsin is made up mostly of Wisconsin retirement system participants. And we're calling on the State of Wisconsin Investment Board to divest our pension savings from financially risky and environmentally irresponsible fossil fuel investments. So they manage about $162 billion in total assets. But I'm concerned And we're concerned about climate change and the $6 billion of SWIB investments that's in fossil fuel-related holdings. But it's crucial to understand that the risk is not just about fossil fuel companies. The broader understanding is that it's about climate finance risk.
That's great. And I just want to emphasize a couple of things there. First of all, Pete, you are and have been a public servant. You have served the people of Wisconsin. So I just want to start out by saying Climate Safe Pensions of Wisconsin are a group of the real public servants. And so I want to say thank you to you and all of your colleagues that have served us as Wisconsin residents. Folks, these are the people that make government work and work very well for you. And you mentioned SWIB, which is the State of Wisconsin Investment Board. The State of Wisconsin Investment Board is the specific entity that is charged with making the investment decisions. In other words, where does your money, the pensioners' money for the State of Wisconsin Public Employees Pension Fund, referred to also as the Wisconsin Retirement System, where do they invest that $162 billion? And right now, Pete, if I understood what you're saying, $6 billion of that is in big oil.
Yeah, that's right. But it's a slightly more complicated situation. And we're happy that over the last year, since I was last on the show, we've managed to get a little bit more attention of SWIB. We're happy that over 1,000 people, mostly WRS participants, have signed our online petition at Wisconsin, climatesafepensionswisconsin.org. And in addition to that, we've encouraged people to write to SWIB in their public comment apparatus at their website. Over the last year, 90% of the comments have been asking them to do something better about climate change and finance risk.
I think that's so critically important. And then I'm going to toss it to you, Tom. But I want to make this observation, and I want people to clock in what we're talking about here. So $6 billion are being invested on behalf of retirees and future retirees that are public servants in the state of Wisconsin. Big oil, going back to the 60s and 70s and 80s, had internal studies that predicted with absolutely breathtaking accuracy, rising sea levels, the amount of air pollution, pick the thing. They knew what fossil fuels would do to the environment. And they knew it with, again, breathtaking accuracy. They lied to the public. They lied to Congress, just like Big Tobacco did. And as a result, taxpayers in places like Wisconsin are going to have to outlay billions of dollars. These are effectively corporate subsidies that will go to help shoring up our infrastructure, remediating floods, all of the. So we're underwriting, we're passing subsidies to big oil while they reap, again, windfall profits, bigger profit margins than they have in decades, both in percentage and in absolute dollars. Pete, you want people to sign this petition. You can find it at climatesafepensionswisconsin.org. You want SWIB to divest from big oil. Is that the objective here?
It's a little broader than that now, Maggie.
Tell us.
And it has to do with is growing an understanding around climate finance risk. And that is readily apparent in areas such as banking, government, insurance, mortgages, and real estate. And SWIB has not addressed our specific questions about their plan to address the risks that are much broader than just fossil fuel related holdings. They have holdings in insurance companies and in banking.
Meaning the industries that help support big oil and fossil fuels.
And the whole economy.
Yes.
Because when you look at what happens with the big storms that are happening with the urban and wildfires.
Yes.
Those result in devastating losses. Look at California. They just had massive urban fires. That is what transitions from a wildfire. So thousands of homeowners there are either uninsured or underinsured. And so what that results in is people without mortgages, then they can't have proper insurance, and you have climate-induced credit crunch.
Yes. Incredibly fascinating topic. Folks, you can find out more. You can sign that petition at climatesafepensionswisconsin.org. Can't wait to talk to you again, Pete. Let's do that. We'll dig in more about the connectivity in our economy to fossil fuels and the risk that it poses to taxpayers and the entire economy. More soon. We'll get you signed up to do that, Pete. Keep it locked. We're going to talk about taxing the rich, the threat of Donald Trump's terror tariffs here in Wisconsin in your family's pocketbook with a very special guest when we come back next, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. 128,000 mourners have now paid final respects to Pope Francis. CBS's John Dickerson is at the Vatican.
The shepherd must smell like the sheep, Pope Francis said, and all day long the flock has gathered as bells pealed, the rain fell, to celebrate his push to put his life, his office, and his church among the people.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov tells CBS's Margaret Brennan of Face the Nation that President Trump is focused on root causes of the war with Ukraine.
When he said that it was a huge mistake to pull Ukraine into NATO, and this was a mistake by Biden administration, and he wants to rectify this.
Ukraine is not part of NATO. New research shows middle-aged people are becoming lonelier. Psychiatrist Dr. Sue Varma on the causes.
Being unmarried is a big one, not to mention the fact that people really aren't as involved and engaged in social and civic and religious institutions as they once were.
CBS News Brief.
The Packers pick a receiver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay. Last night at the NFL Draft.
With the 23rd pick in the 2025 NFL Draft. The 13-time world champion, Green Bay Packers, for the first time since 2002, draft a wide receiver, Matthew Golden, wide receiver of Texas.
Packers president Mark Murphy, GM Brian Gutekunst on selecting Matthew Golden.
Well, I really sent in a different name, but Mark just announced what he announced, so it is what it is.
Golden's reaction on being the first receiver the Packers picked in the first round since Javon Walker.
It's always been a dream of mine to go in the first round. To know that they haven't picked a receiver since 2002, man, it's truly a blessing.
NBA, the Bucks and the Pacers for Game 3 in their playoff series tonight in Milwaukee. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Lots to see in the theaters this weekend, including good kids stuff. As A24's The Legend of Ochi opens, A24 is making movies like they used to be made, and it's a wonderful thing. Their newest effort, a fantasy adventure, tells the story of a girl who is scared of a rare species called the Ochi. The film is certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes with 85%. Star Wars fans may or may not like that Revenge of the Sith is being re-released. Only 66% of audiences enjoyed this film. Do you give it another chance? Horror film Until Dawn tells the story of a group of friends forced to live the same night over and over in the woods. The film is not yet rated, but looks absolutely gruesome. And if you're in the mood for an action thriller, check out The Accountant 2, starring Ben Affleck as Christian Wolfe, who uncovers a conspiracy and goes on the hunt for a network of killers. Certified fresh at 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Increasing clouds in the overnight, light north winds at lows in the lower 40s. On Friday, showers, even a thunderstorm possible. Cloudy skies, temperatures rising to the upper 40s. North winds will increase. We'll see some gusts up around 25. Right now, it's 48.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it. That is below the dignity of your station, man.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know, as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll continue to look at the NFL draft in Green Bay, some news of the day, and our old friend Peter Rapine with a humorous look at the week in review. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Talking about tax policy this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I know I do. We've got just the most fabulous guest to do that with each of us this afternoon. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I got Tom Paulsiewicz with me in the guest co-host chair, and we've got a fantastic new guest to bring on with us. His name is Indy Duttagupta. He is the Doris Duke Distinguished Fellow at Georgetown University, formerly a House Ways and Means Committee staffer, has worked for the Center for American Progress and the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, excuse me. And he just published two papers that you can find at the Roosevelt Institute on the care economy and tax policy. Indy, thank you so much for making time and coming to talk about what I call Donald Trump's tariff terror that is going to tax the hell out of the middle class and working people, especially right here in Wisconsin. I heard commentary today on, I believe it was Wisconsin Public Radio, saying that a state like Wisconsin is going to be hit especially hard by Donald Trump's tariff policies. Can you help us understand why we're particularly vulnerable here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, look, Wisconsin, first of all, Maggie and Tom as well, it's great to be here with you all talking about these issues and what it means for regular people, because that's really what matters here. And you think about a state like Wisconsin and, you know, it's not just a sort of stereotype. The reality is there's a lot of agriculture and a lot of dairy agriculture, manufacturing, construction, and these are industries that are highly dependent on both selling our goods elsewhere and inputs into making things that come from abroad. Because over the last few decades, we've created a very sort of internationally interdependent economy. So folks in Wisconsin will absolutely feel things like job loss in the local communities, higher prices. I've heard from folks who farm in dairy, for example, and say with the deportation too, which, yes, you know, is a real risk here in undermining the economy, that they won't be able to produce milk and cheese.
Yeah, it's just shocking the scope of impacts that we are anticipating here in Wisconsin. And Indy, I wanted to ask you this. I do not understand how we can function as an economy, how regular people can live in a state that is not existential economic fear when we have a stock market that is up and down like a yo-yo based upon our fearless leaders' moods. One day tariffs, yes. Next day tariffs, no. Market goes up and down. It all seems to read, again, basically Trump's moods. He criticizes the heck out of the Federal Reserve Chair, Jerome Powell, right? Market goes down. Next day, he gets reined in a little bit. Maybe he softens that, but market goes back up. This is not the way things are supposed to be. And the uncertainty about tariffs is going to make it very hard for businesses here in Wisconsin to decide whether to hire more people, whether to expand, whether to continue to produce what they're producing, whether to stockpile inputs needed in their supply chain. Can we continue like this? Is this workable?
No, this is absolutely undermining the basic living standards of Americans going forward. So on the one hand, we're feeling this anxiety, and some people, say, for example, who are near retirement, are really in a tough position and may have to accept just lower incomes during retirement because of their investments, which were thought to be relatively safe in U.S.-based companies, no longer being so safe. And then on the other hand, you've got even small businesses who might depend on partners in Canada or partners in Mexico. And, you know, there's a lot we can do to strengthen U.S. trade policy, but probably putting someone with such unilateral sort of power at the helm of it isn't a great idea for anyone. And in the long run, people need some predictability. How do you build a business? Like, say you're just, you know, someone working on their own, selling things online on Etsy or something. Well, you know, maybe you were buying pieces of metal from China or somewhere. Is it essential that the U.S. also make that? I think the other thing that folks don't understand is we export a lot of things to the rest of the world, including services. So
services, yeah.
The University of Wisconsin-Madison is a great example, right? So education is a major export of the United States of America. And we are taking one of our greatest economic strengths, and UW-Madison is just one example. There's others in Wisconsin. But we're taking one of our greatest economic strengths here, and we're undermining it. We're making it hostile for people to come to, from other countries especially, to do important work like cancer research. It's completely wild. I couldn't imagine a better set of arguments for not concentrating so much power in one president, in any president.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the other thing I've been thinking about is, you know, I work with a bunch of small business owners, and the uncertainty of what's happening in the economy is holding it. It's really causing people to basically be paralyzed when it comes to making money decisions. So investing in new plants, investing in new equipment, hiring people, all sorts of things. I just find there's this constant waiting going on right now. So there's the hard dollar cost of tariffs and everything else, but there's this soft thing that's causing the economy just to slow. And I don't see anything coming out of the Trump administration even recognizing it or having a plan to do something about it. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, Tom, well, first of all, that's exactly right. It's a rational behavior for small businesses to look around and figure out what can I predictably take a risk on and take a reasonable risk on? Where should I invest? Should I partner with this firm? Should I expand in this way or that way? We need stability for that. That's partly why you saw Maggie brought up the attacks on the chair of the Federal Reserve, because that undermines stability. And actually, when you have some stable financial systems and markets and some predictability, people can do great things. But when you don't, it's the completely rational thing to do to be paralyzed, like you said, Tom. Do I see anything from the administration that might mitigate this? Well, I guess once in a while, the right person catches the right person's attention at the right moment. And that is just a terrible way to run an economy and to run economic policy.
Right.
Well, and Indy, you mentioned the right person happens to catch the president's ear. We know, you know, Scott Bessent has been speaking up, raising all kinds of concerns. But you got Peter Navarro talking in his other ear like, oh, yeah, tariffs are the solution. They have not worked well in the United States past, despite the president's selective memory on that. In fact, helped exacerbate the Great Depression. And we had to have literally the CEOs of, what was it, Target, Walmart, two other major retailers in the Oval Office saying, there's going to be a run on our products and store shelves will be bare. Do you want pictures of people in literal bread lines under your administration? And then he relents on the reciprocal tariffs. I want people to realize, and Indy, please correct me if I'm wrong, we haven't yet begun to feel the actual impact of the trade war with China, which just today, which is a tariff war, that's what we mean when we say trade war, 145% tariffs from the U.S. on Chinese imports, China at 125%. Trump and Bessent indicating yesterday, oh, yes, we've got these robust negotiations going on. China puts out a statement today. No, there's zero negotiations going on. We haven't begun to yet feel the pain of that particular, what I'm going to call, brinksmanship. There's no movement. How do they get out of this? And we haven't, again, even felt the pain point yet.
Well, some of us as consumers maybe have it, but again, if you think about what Tom just laid out about how paralyzed some small businesses feel, you've got a business that makes board games that's bringing forth a legal suit against the Trump administration. You know, this is another really important point. Maggie, you brought up CEOs of major profitable companies having the president's ear. Well, what about somebody who makes board games? What about somebody who runs a bed and breakfast, a B&B, somewhere near the Canadian-U.S. border, right? So this is also just a complete recipe for corruption, for favoritism, for cutting deals left and right. And what here is even the strategy? You can imagine some role. There's always been some tariffs here and there, and it can help when another country's violating environmental protections or labor protections. But what's the strategy here? We're going to exempt electronics from China, which would be advanced manufacturing, potentially decent jobs, and encourage Americans to start making sneakers?
Yes.
Who is asking for this? Who voted for that?
It's so utterly confusing. And thank you so much, Indy, for bringing up the corruption. This is access economics, which is a fancy cleaned up way of saying it's favor trading. Those that have the president's ear, who have donated to him. We've got reports on the $250 million inauguration. Those are the people who he listens to. With the meme coin happening, the potential for people literally to pay to play, to have exemptions for their business to get out of the trade war so that they can continue business is at the highest it has potentially been in literally 100 years in American history. What should we be doing? What should the regular person, all the folks listening right now, Indy, what should we do?
Well, look, let's remember, first of all, that the president isn't all that popular. So there's a lot of scary things happening, especially for immigrants, but also just folks who are in higher ed institutions or work on the climate environment. But we still have a voice, and people still have the ability to influence both what their members of Congress and senators do, but also, you know, at the state level, right? States can be a bulwark here to both protect our economy and our democracy. And I think the less popular the president is, the more likely that others will kind of, you know, go against his wishes. There are people, like we had a Republican senator from Alaska say she was afraid to speak up against the president, yes. And others are too. That's a terrifying thing to say in a democracy, right? But the less popular he is, and the more the people are very clear about its tangible harms that they're experiencing. We haven't even gotten to the forthcoming cuts to Medicaid, SNAP,
right.
Potentially housing assistance, childcare, and the like. But we still have a chance to put some of the worst possibilities out of play. We've prevailed here and there, for example, on Social Security administration when Musk and the Doge team tried to cut phone service, mm-hmm. which people, especially yep. in rural areas, really depend on.
Folks, that is Indy Duttagupta. He is the Doris Duke Distinguished Fellow at Georgetown University in the McCourt School of Public Policy. You can find two of his most recent research papers at the website, I want to get this exactly correct, RooseveltInstitute.org, on the care economy and tax policy. Remember this whole tariff thing? Yeah, that's just a way to make working people and the middle class pay way more than our fair share. Tax the rich, y'all. We'll be back in just a moment right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network for some final thoughts. Thank you, Indy. Keep up the good work.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Check out my war plans. Pete Hegseth talking about first big strike against the Houthis in Yemen on Signal, two separate channels. Yes, the one you heard about before with the reporter on it. Oops-a-daisy. And now also his wife, his bro, and his lawyer who magically got hired by the Pentagon. This guy's judgment could not be worse. Do you think Hegseth should probably resign?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on waukradio.com/contest-terms. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Do not get caught in the crossfire unless you are a brave, brave soul. Ladies and gentlemen, we're on the last segment of the day. My, how time flies when we're having a great conversation. Thanks so much to my guest co-host today, Tom Paulswitz, with me for the whole 2 hours. I'll be back tomorrow. We got Pete Schwabe coming up. I almost said Pete Hegseth because we were talking about him so much today. We got Pete Schwabe coming up next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. For a little night light, you're going to want to stick around and ease into your Thursday afternoon and Friday eve. Just in case you're keeping score, and we're going to talk about two different kinds of scores, Donald Trump chalking up three big losses today in federal courts. Yes. Three separate federal judges today putting on hold his bogus executive order on DEI, on sanctuary cities, and this crazy thing to muck about in our election system. Some nonsense, unnecessariness about voter registration, all put on hold.
Who knew they were going to be illegal? Who could have thought?
It's like, who knew Pete Hegseth was going to be terrible? Who knew?
Right. Who knew?
90% of Donald Trump's executive orders are unconstitutional.
Right.
Most of us did. And the score, I'm sad to report the Brewers dropping one to the Giants today in a heartbreaker of a game. Final score on that game, 6-5. Oh, so
they may have, sad. You know, they've always had such a great bullpen. They may have a bullpen problem right now. So we'll see what they can do over the next couple of weeks to work that out.
It also is not helpful when our dearest Christian Yelich dropped a fly ball in the eighth. Ouch. Guess who is at bat? Adamas, Willie Adamas, now playing with the Giants, traded in the offseason, or I should say not signed.
Did he do it on purpose? I don't know.
No. Now, I have been talking to a bunch of my friends, speaking of sports. A goodly number of people heading up to Green Bay to get in on the NFL draft action. Are you watching this closely, Tom? Are you interested?
Oh yeah, I'll be watching tonight. I always watch the draft. You know, it's the weirdest thing though. It's one of the few places left where, you know, as an employee, you don't have a say on where you can go to work, and it's all legal. It's all legal at this point. At some point, that's going to have to come up, but. Anyways, the draft is tonight. Green Bay's rocking and rolling. We talked to I can't remember his name. Who was the gentleman we had on last week? The PR person from the Packers. He was fantastic.
Yes. Brian Reinsinger.
Yeah, they did so much to get ready and get everything put together. And I love Green Bay, and I hope the rest of the country falls in love with it too tonight. So that'd be fantastic.
When we had that conversation, and I often joke that America's team ain't the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones with the world's biggest jumbotron. It is the fan-owned Green Bay Packers, smallest town with any professional sports franchise in the United States, anticipating tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions in economic activity in the Green Bayland area. So do you have a fantasy team, Tom?
Football? No, I stopped playing fantasy football a long time ago. I play fantasy baseball though. I tend to enjoy that more,
which requires daily care and feeding. I figured I did a fantasy baseball league last year and came in dead last. Cause I was like, I can't trade people every day.
Football, I just like to enjoy the game. You know, I get worked up while watching a Packer game. So I like to watch another game and not be emotionally invested in it. But that's me. So
I have a big group of guy buddies that I hang out with on occasion. And they're all in the same, all of us from law school together. And these nerds show up at a bar with their big binder. Like they have binders. For the draft as if they're actual owners or GMs. I find it hilarious. So I might be quaffing a couple bevvies with my buds tonight.
But I got to tell you, Maggie,
one
of my most prized possessions is my rejection letter from Bob Harlan. When I applied for the position of salary cap person with the Packers back in 1999. So he actually wrote, typed out a letter, signed it and sent it to me. So
I've kept a couple of choice rejection letters myself, Tom, just because, you know, the trip down memory lane is pretty fun. Eric from Madison on the text line provides a correction to me. Maggie, America's team is neither the Dallas Cowboys nor the Green Bay Packers. It is the Detroit Rock City Lions. Listen, if I can't pick the Packers, Eric, my man, I would be rooting for them. Detroit Rock City Lions. I love me some Detroit. For real, though. Absolutely fabulous city. Love hanging out there. I'm in Michigan with some degree of regularity. I really love the city. I have a couple friends from the Grand Rapids area. And one of my favorite sports memories, not favorite, but like indelible, perhaps, sports memory. Yeah. Do you remember Chris Webber
calling the
magical doesn't exist timeout after he traveled on the other end of the court? Big Michigan in the NCAA final.
The look on
final.
His face.
Yes.
Like, oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Can't believe I did that. Yeah.
Absolutely memorable. How long ago was that? That was That was with Grant Hill, right?
Yeah, it was a long time ago. They're all retired now. Yes.
We're dating ourselves. sports memories. You do tend to, they do seal into the mind's eye.
Yes, they do.
So sad, Brew Crew. And I don't have baseball to watch tonight. I'll be watching the draft with my buddies and some bevies. Yes. Get out there and enjoy the beautiful
Packers
weather.
Will be picking around 9:50 if you're that much of a geek.
I'll be about
it,
so. 2 bevies in, 9:50. Perfect
yep.
timing.
There you go.
Listen,
yep.
take care, everybody. Thanks so much, Tom P. He'll be back with me on Monday. Remember,
Monday.
I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together for our Packers, Bucks, and crew.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. The great doors of St. Peter's Basilica will remain open to mourners until 8 p.m. Rome time tonight, with 128,000 already filing past the open casket of Pope Francis ahead of Saturday's funeral. Dozens of world leaders and royalty will attend the funeral, but BBC correspondent Sarah Rainsford tells us for now, Francis belongs to the people.
There are several thousand people in this crowd who were held back for a moment by police, and then the police pulled back the barriers, and there was applause and a real surge of people moving forward, because everybody knows that they could have extremely long waits. I've been speaking to people from here in Italy, so from Europe, people from Asia too, a woman from Vietnam yesterday. I've spoken to people from Latin America, Argentina, of course. They've all talked about how Pope Francis was a leader of this church who was very, very close to them, to the people. He didn't elevate himself above them. He wasn't